conclude our series on the six miracles of Calvary. And sometimes I get into a series and wonder why I decided to do that. And we are going to be looking at various scriptures today. But
and so this we're going to start in John chapter 20.
So if you want to turn to John 20 and be ready.
And then the Lord.
We're going to start in John 20 sometime.
I want to invite everyone back this evening.
Lengthy introduction.
We've been doing
we have been looking at the six miracles of Calvary, and so far we've looked at four of them.
Would agree.
So this is quiz time.
Be healthy.
For those who maybe have been away and stuff like that, maybe you can kind of fill in for them. First of all, the first two miracles of Calvary that we looked at 2 weeks ago.
Now,
I know that was 2 weeks ago, and you've slept a few times since then, and I understand. You know, but who can tell me what the first miracle of Calvary was that we looked at?
Basically, we're going to be talking about
darkness. I heard that. Thank you. Darkness. And
so
remember we painted the picture
the gospel,
of the scene at the cross
of
Jesus Christ and how at the cross he was crucified at 9 a.m. And from 9 to noon, there was a lot of commotion and a lot of things going on around the foot of the cross. And there was
when
soldiers
said,
there mocking him, saying,
he
said he was the Son of God. You know, and then there were people walking by and they were saying, wagging their heads and they're saying, he who says he can destroy the temple and in 3 days rebuild it. Yeah, look at him now. Right? And then there were others, there were Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes that were there at the foot of Jesus mocking him and saying, you know, he says he was the Son of God. You know, let him come down now if he's truly the Son of God.
And
there's all this commotion, and we see Jesus speak
so
from the cross
when
those first 3 hours, when he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And then he turns to his mother, and he says, Woman, behold thy son. He wasn't talking about himself. He was talking about the Apostle John. And then he said, Son, behold thy mother. And he was talking to the Apostle John about Mary. And from that moment on, John took Mary into his home, and he cared for her as if she were his own mother.
Can anybody remind me
what
those two miracles
were? We see that commotion going on. There was also thieves that were crucified next to him, one on his right and one on his left. And they were mocking him back and forth. And eventually one of them decided that this mocking thing wasn't working out.
How long did the darkness last?
And he realized that Jesus truly was the Son of God.
Was it the first 3 hours or the last 3 hours?
And so he addresses
the
other thief and he says, you know, don't you realize that we're getting what we deserve? But this man has done nothing wrong.
It was
in the last 3 hours,
and
said, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
At 9 in the morning.
And Jesus turned to him and said,
the darkness
started today you will be with me
the sun was supposed
and
to be
so
the
And so at that moment, after all this commotion going on around the cross, and people walking by, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the soldiers all mocking, eventually God said, enough, bam, and it went dark.
Up until that point.
Complete, total darkness.
And we had various people there mocking the Lord Jesus.
And there was silence.
The soldiers that
while
were there
God
and crucified
did
him,
business
and they were sitting around and they're looking
and,
at him saying, you know,
at that moment the scriptures tell us during those 3 hours that Jesus became sin for us,
he
became the sin offering for us.
Saying, you know, he saved
there was
others,
an exchange going on between God the Father and the Son. Jesus was paying the price for our sin during those 3 hours.
When he was able
at 3 in the afternoon, about
leprosy,
the time of the afternoon sacrifice, the light
Lazarus
came back.
From the dead.
And
so
Jesus cried out, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me?
He can do that, but he can't even save himself.
And then we see
that
he also says, in that I thirst, they went and got a sponge and put some water on it, or some sour wine on it, and he took a sip, and then he yelled out, it is finished.
And so there were other people around the cross.
And we know that the victory then was won.
They wagged their heads.
Jesus
they would say,
had completed all that
the
Father had sent him to do.
In 3 days, build it
and
up
then he
again.
Cried out, Father, into your hands
you
I commit
now.
My spirit, and he died.
And so there
he
was
gave up
mocking.
His spirit.
But also
he committed
the
it into the hands of the Father,
was
and
his
he died.
Mother, Mary, and
right around
the
time
of
the afternoon sacrifice.
John,
the final Passover lamb was
we know that Jesus, before the darkness, spoke 3 times from the cross. He said,
and so right after that, we see the second miracle there of Calvary.
His mother, he says, Woman, behold
remember?
Your son. He says to John, behold your
mother. The veil
in
the temple was torn
from, that time on,
from top
the
to bottom,
John took Mary
giving us
into
access
his care,
now to the presence of God through his son, Jesus Christ. There
and
also
remember,
at that time, or just after that,
said,
remember
today,
the third miracle
you will
was
be with me in paradise.
And the earthquake, right? The earth shook and the rocks split.
Everything.
And then the fourth one
continued and,
was,
and all of a sudden, everything
as a result of the earthquake
dark,
or separate from the earthquake or whatever,
saying,
was that the graves
enough.
Were open.
I've heard from you guys.
The graves were open.
And
so we continue
dark,
on now with the fifth
silent.
Miracle. And,
and
see, those first four
darkness,
all happened at Calvary on the day
Father
of Jesus'
and
crucifixion.
Jesus. And that's when the Lord Jesus
the next
became
two
sin
happened
for us.
After Jesus' resurrection.
He who knew no sin became sin
and
for
so,
us that we might
we,
become
as we look at this,
the righteousness
we want to be
Christ.
In John chapter
and so
20.
Those three
and
hours
we will see
of darkness,
the undisturbed grave clothes
place between the
of
and the
Jesus.
That
in John chapter 20. John is the
salvation.
Only one that mentions these, by the way.
Not our
the
own.
Other three gospel writers do not.
The
and so we're in John chapter 20 verses 1 through 10.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
It says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came
to the
tomb. Early while it was still dark.
You know,
by the way, Mary
was
wasn't alone.
Jesus cries out,
we
my
know
God,
that there
my
was
God, why
at least 14 other Marys with her.
And the darkness ends, and he says,
but,
thirst,
no, not quite that many. But there are other Marys with her and other women with her and stuff like that. But well, John
remember,
focuses on Mary
Jesus
Magdalene, and I think the reason is
to tell us that
Mary Magdalene gets to the tomb here, and it seems like while it's still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away. And I think what John doesn't tell us is that she also noticed
that
Jesus was gone. The body was gone. Because we know from the other accounts that the other women, they
at
got there,
moment,
the stone was rolled away,
is torn
and they stayed.
The
I think Mary at that point
that
turned and booked and ran.
The blood of Jesus
I think
Christ,
she ran back
to
the disciples.
To the Father is possible.
It goes on and says,
no longer do we have
she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So,
that, no more
so
do we
she
have
ran
to go
and went to Simon
mediator.
Peter
no longer
and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them,
us, we can now
they have taken the Lord out of
the
tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.
Those are the first two miracles.
So Peter went out, and the other disciple,
Matthew chapter 27,
and they
we want to read
were going toward the tomb, both of them
following.
Running together,
it says,
but
the
other disciple outran Peter and reached
the
tomb first. So we know
hour.
That the other disciple
the hour,
is the,
Jesus cried out with a loud
the apostle
voice,
John,
saying,
who's
Eli,
writing
Lama,
this,
Sabachthani.
And he gets there first,
God,
they both
God,
take off, he gets there
forsaken.
First, and he stays outside
and some of
the
bystanders
looking in.
Said, this man is calling
he said,
Elijah.
To look in,
and one of
he
them,
saw the linen clothes laying there,
sponge,
but he did not go
wine.
In. Then Simon Peter came, following him, completely out of breath, because he couldn't keep up with John.
But others said, wait,
that,
let's
sorry,
see whether Elijah will come to save him. You know,
it's
I don't
a guy
think they
thing.
Were trying to mock Jesus at this point. I think they were actually
Simon Peter shows up, right, and
see.
Went into
the
tomb.
Darkness got
he saw the linen
attention.
Clothes lying there,
and now they're
and
going,
the face cloth, which had
here.
Been on
so
Jesus'
if
head,
comes to
not
him.
Laying
because if Elijah
with
comes,
the linen
know,
clothes,
this is indeed
cloth
Messiah,
or whatever, but
to
followed, or but folded up, sorry, in a place
anyway,
by itself.
And Jesus cried out again,
then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first,
he
also went in.
His life wasn't
and he
taken
said,
from him.
And he saw.
This is an important point. Jesus said,
for as
no
yet they did not understand the scriptures
down.
That he must
so
rise from the dead.
Here, it's obvious
the disciples
that
went
he
back
is not
to their
a
home.
Victim.
Only John records
Rome.
This little incident. Only John records the fact that
he is
you know,
willingly
got there first
giving up.
Outran
his
Peter.
Spirit. He's
and,
giving up his spirit.
And but when he got there, he didn't go in.
Behold, the temple,
the tombs of that day,
was
especially if it was Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, which we know it is from Matthew's account.
And the rocks
would have
were
been
split.
Would have had
and
two different compartments.
Also were open.
The first
and
compartment would have been where they lay the body,
asleep,
and then the back compartment
coming
would have
out of
been
the
after a year after the body was had died. After they died, a year after they come and they collect
and
the
those
bones.
Who were with him
and they put them in these ossuaries, these little
Jesus
boxes,
saw the earthquake
and they put
and
all the bones in this box, and they make the box as long as the longest bone in your body. You know which bone that is?
And
the
they
femur,
were also,
right. So they measure the femur, and they make a box that long, and they put all
the
rest of the bones
see, now,
in
the
that
beginning
box
of the crucifixion, they were there
with them, and
the
they put that in the back part.
And now they're
and
looking
so when they got to this
distance,
tomb, which
move?
Had never been used before, so
the
back chamber was empty,
they, moved away
they come
the
in, and John is just looking in.
They're looking
but and he sees the linen cloths there, laying there. And
yeah, followed him.
And so he just sits
Jesus
there and looks, and then
he's
Peter comes in
ministering
behind
him, to
him. And you know Peter.
Whom were Mary Magdalene.
Peter's not
going
to be content to just be outside
Joseph,
looking in. He goes right on
the
in.
The mother of the sons.
Right?
Of
some
Zebedee.
Of you are Peters. I know you are.
And so we see here the
you wouldn't
scene
be content
cross,
to just go, oh, yeah.
And after
there.
Jesus
he went right
gave
in.
Up
and
his
he was, you can imagine he just gives in and stands and looks.
And there was an earthquake.
And John comes in, and they're both standing there looking.
So this morning we want to
and then they
look at the miracle
But it says that John believed. He looked and he believed. See, the Jewish people,
to begin with,
would always take very good care of the body. If we could just look at John 19, verse 38 and following. It gives us a description of the burial. We already read it from Matthew, but it's named from John as well. I like how all the Gospels always add just a few different details.
And that's how it would be.
If there were four of us that witnessed the same account, we'd all give different details.
Now listen. God is going to bring judgment.
If we stand there and
so
there was an accident, some may give the make and model of the vehicle, some may give the shape and size, or they may give the color or something else, and others would give other different descriptions. But that's how the Gospels are.
Or something like that.
And so John here is going to give us a little different view of the burial.
But a dynamic
and the burial is very
God
important.
Would get their attention would be like, I don't know, maybe he might...
John 19, starting verse 38. Thank you.
Swallow a bunch of people.
John 19, 38. It says, after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the
attention.
Jews, asked Pilate
there and these people
that he might take away
the
body of Jesus.
And
Pilate
and
gave him permission.
Again,
so he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. And so they took the body of Jesus,
when
they bound it in linen cloth,
from heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah,
with spices.
Way that God
also,
I'm
sorry, as it is, as
he,
is the burial custom
fire down
of the Jews.
On Mount Carmel,
now,
they,
in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden,
and
in
the
garden,
the
a new tomb. In which no one had yet been laid.
God was getting their
so,
attention.
So, because of the Jewish
the
day of preparation,
is a dynamic
the
way that God is getting the attention
hand,
of the people.
They laid Jesus
in Jerusalem,
there.
At least the people
we find out from Matthew that this was
cross.
Joseph's.
Now, no
tomb.
One really knows how big
that
this
he had purchased
was.
Or
was
made
no
or whatever,
at the time,
and
so no one really
was waiting
knows.
For his own death.
And
so here we have.
But let me ask this question:
Jesus, the
and
account
this is
of
a trick
Jesus.
Question.
The preparation
so was the
of the body.
Just coincidence?
The Jewish people
that happened right at that time, was that coincidence?
Had a lot of respect for the body.
No, there's no such thing as coincidence.
They didn't embalm
really?
The body like
the
Egyptians
the
did, and they didn't cremate like
Webster.
Pagans did.
Because I would,
so
I would,
if any of you were thinking about
that it
should
was
we cremate, should we not cremate,
coincided
maybe consider what
death
the Jews
of
did with bodies.
It coincided
and
with
so
the
what
darkness,
they did was they would,
and the
they would
veil
first
being
of all
torn,
wash the body,
coincided with the shout
and
of
then they would
that Jesus
put the,
gave when he said it is
the
finished.
Mixture of myrrh and aloes on it. They would lay
the
out the linen
split,
cloths,
the
and they would put.
So
and it was in powder form,
sense,
so they put the powder on
the very
and everything, and lay the body on, and put more powder, and put the wrap it all up, and cover it with powder.
An act or a condition
to cover the smell of the decomposition.
But then Webster
and then when the
leave
women
alone,
were coming on
that
Sunday morning,
say,
they were coming to put more spices on to cover up the decaying process,
but steam,
and that's what they would do. To cover
so
the decaying
the
process,
argue,
waiting for the flesh
was
and
no
everything
accident.
To decay off of it, so there would
this
be just down to bones.
Intentional
collect the bones
for
and
the
put
earth
them in
to shake at that time, and the rocks.
So that's what they did. Notice
the
how they brought
open.
Nicodemus
this
brought 75 pounds.
A miracle by God.
Now I'm
God
no
using supernatural events
scholar,
to do His miraculous
but I would think,
work. So the question I have
that have been plenty.
Is so why an earthquake?
Matter of fact, 75 pounds was the amount that they would
why
use
not
for
a big
a
hailstorm or something.
Someone
why
of great
an
royalty.
Earthquake? And I think if we look back into Israel's history,
yeah, 100 pounds, and
so
the way that's translated, it's
the
Old
Testament. Would you walk with me?
The way the 100 pounds is translated,
and so we're going to first of all see that an
it's
earthquake, first of all, is a
litres,
reminder of Sinai,
and there's
it takes us
one
back
point,
to the children of Israel having come out.
I saw
of,
the conversion.
Out of
so
Egypt.
There's three quarters of a pound per litre or something like that.
So
and so there's 100 litres or whatever. And so the King James
the verses on
translated that as pounds,
Exodus chapter 19.
Where it should have been no.
Exodus chapter 19. No. So if you turn
but
me to there,
okay.
Exodus chapter 19, we'll start in verse 16.
I don't know. I didn't do that
the
much
children
research
of Israel
on it, but it might have been a leader.
Had a connection
but
with Mount
know,
Sinai.
Because we're talking about weight.
Mount Sinai is where Moses was given the law.
No,
God himself came down. On top of the mountain.
But we're talking about
was,
weight. Leaders more in.
Now, there had to be some preparation.
In,
so God
volume,
meets with Moses
liquid
and says, here's
volume.
The deal, Moses.
So
here's the plan.
And
I'm going to come down on this mountain.
And so I think that the translators in the ESV, the NASB, and the others had to
have to go through
right
3 days of cleansing and consecration.
But that's either way, 75 or 100 pounds.
Married people have to
stay
away from
each other,
and they have to stay away from all the unclean things and everything.
I think they were sending a message of their devotion to the Lord Jesus
to come
out and preservation of his body and the preparation
that Moses had
to do.
To tell people to consecrate themselves
for
3 days.
Why is it important that John mentions the grave clothes being undisturbed? In other words, the linens were just laying there.
On
they weren't
the mountain, he was
gathered up in a heap
and
or anything like that. So why is it important? Why is this passage so important?
For when God was going to come
and why
down
is it considered one of the six miracles
and,
of Calvary? Well, it's one of
the
six miracles of Calvary
and so,
because it happens
there
here
in
the garden near Mount Calvary.
In verse 16
right there.
And following. It says, and
so
the
it wasn't
the
away,
day,
it wasn't anywhere around.
There was thunder and lightning
at
and a
the,
thick
at
cloud on the mountain.
And so as we look
and
at this,
very loud trumpet
and if we
blast.
Want to be true to the passage, and we really do, we want to lift out the points that we see here. And one is that the reason John looks in the tomb, and he looks in, and when he comes in, he sees the grave clothes still laying out, not wadded up somewhere, but they're still there, with no body there. It says that when he looked, he says he reached
very loud,
he went in,
so that
all
the people
and believed
in the camp trembled. In other words, they're all shaking, they're scared now.
Did he believe that Jesus had been resurrected from the dead? Or did he believe that what Mary Magdalene said was that someone came and stole his body?
You know, hanging out at the base of this.
What
mountain.
Did he believe? Well, I don't know.
That Moses and the people.
I believe that the passage is telling us this. I think John is telling us this for a reason. If he just believed
that
someone stole the body, I don't think he would have written it.
See, up to this point,
I don't think he would have put
really
it in.
Know God.
I think he truly believed that something miraculous, something wonderful happened. And I think
you know,
we see that it is
Egyptian
the foundation
God, about
of John's belief.
And
these grave
power,
clothes laying here
Moses
became
says,
the foundation for his belief.
Rescue you from Egypt, and then begins a series of
it says
plagues
that he went
on
in,
Egypt. And each one of them,
when he reached the tomb there, he also went
gods.
In and he saw and believed.
Each one of them. And so as God proved himself to be victorious over all the Egyptian
saw
gods,
and believed.
They
so
still
what did
didn't
he believe?
Really trust him.
Well, I
they
think,
still
first
really
of all,
have
he believed
this great
that Jesus
trust in
really
God,
did
because every time they came into any hardship,
he had
said,
to believe
really,
that. I mean, he was
God
there, he kind of saw it all,
us
obviously.
Us.
The soldiers testified
you know,
they wouldn't allow Jesus
the
off the cross if he
and
hadn't
so here,
been dead.
God's,
the soldiers
God's
verified
now got him
the death
out there, and he wants
of Jesus.
To meet them.
But
he
I also want you
to
think about the fact that if you were a Jew, and you'd be
thinking,
did Jesus really die? Think about what Joseph of Arimathea did and Nicodemus did. They took
sometimes
and washed the body. They did all
the
spices and wrapped it all up. If Jesus was still alive, they would have known.
Alone with God.
If anybody would have known, it would have been them. They handled the body.
But that's what
and,
Moses brought the people
I haven't
out
handled
of the camp to
any
meet
dead
God.
Bodies personally.
And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain.
But you kind of know.
Now, Mount Sinai was wrapped in
I mean,
smoke
other than
because
animals,
the Lord had descended.
You kind of know when something's
it,
dead.
In fire.
And
the
when
smoke
it's not. And so Jesus was
up,
literally
like
dead. And the grave clothes were a manifestation
trembled,
of
really.
The actual death of Jesus. He didn't just swoon on the cross.
The
he didn't just pass out. He didn't just faint.
He
died.
He shook the whole thing.
And the grave clothes were,
and so when he was
going to
give the law to Moses,
real manifestation
he starts it with
to
a trumpet
and
blast
John.
And a shaking of the
I
ground.
I think the other thing it tells us,
now,
and they told John, was that the body was missing from
was
the tomb.
Down.
Now you say, well,
verbally,
duh.
From one generation.
But
to
really,
the
when
next,
you get to it, they went to the tomb. They heard that he was missing, and they ran to see for themselves. The body was gone. So when they got there and they see the grave clothes, it's obvious there's no body there.
And the
grave clothes still laying out,
Sinai
but there's no body
there. And the Lord called
kind
of
like all of you, if you
went
home,
Moses
went right? If we went home,
and after Moses goes up, he then receives the law.
Right? It's obvious. When
the
someone's
way
in the bed, you can tell.
Were to govern.
Just
but
like when someone's laying on
the
couch
the
with a blanket, you can tell
this is my standard
there.
Of holiness.
But when no one's there,
this is my
it's
standard.
Obvious
this is
that
what
Jesus
I am
was
all
not
about.
In the tomb.
This is my covenant with you.
And
the
I think
Ten
that
Commandments
was part of the foundation
of
John's belief.
Of
not
the
only
covenant
was he closed
that God
there,
made
we
with
knew
Israel.
He died. Now he's not there.
And so the Sinai
I think
experience
the last one is
that with lightning
the body had not been
moved
by any human agency. In other words, it was
so
obvious
really,
by the way the clothes were laid out.
In their
still there, the
nation,
way they had wrapped him and everything, but the body was
God
gone.
With an earthquake,
and it was obvious that no
shaking.
One came and stole the body.
And so okay, as we so look
if,
at this
if,
scene
if you
Calvary,
and I were to plot, like, okay, Jesus dies, and Joseph of Arimathea buried him himself.
We see Sinai says
there,
there is,
and,
there's
they
a,
got
there's
a guard
a
there, so
sin.
We got to figure out,
Calvary
first of all,
says
how are we going to take care
pain.
Of the guards? So secondly,
says,
once we roll the stone
law.
Away, we're going to snag the body.
Calvary says,
okay, let's do that. So we get there, we take care
at
of the
Sinai,
guards.
We hear the trumpet sounds,
knockout darts,
warning,
whatever. They all
Calvary,
fall over.
We hear the
so
shout
we roll the
of victory.
Anyway,
it is
are we
going to
sit there and unwrap the body?
At Sinai, we
take
see
everything
the exposing
off
of
and,
sin
and get the body out
as he lays out the law.
Back,
before I,
like
before the law
there.
Came, I didn't even know what
no,
sin was.
No, first of all, we aren't
going to
want
the law. Now we go, oh, now we know that is wrong.
We're going to pick that thing up, and maybe if we're buff enough, we might throw him over our shoulder and head out. I mean,
at Sinai,
or one will grab the feet, the other grab the head, and they're out of
there.
They're going to leave it wrapped up.
At Calvary.
No one's going to leave the cloth there. And
at
certainly
Sinai,
aren't
God is saying,
leave it like
don't
he
come
had,
near
you know,
here.
Like he was
don't
wrapped
come
up
near me.
Still.
Don't come near
there's
the mountain
no
or you will die.
And so it was
at
obvious
Calvary.
To John, and it was a foundation of his belief, the way the cloths were
God
laid out,
the curtain.
That he
God
was
saying,
not there.
Come to me.
And that it wasn't moved by any person. That something miraculous had taken place. Now, John had
what
been with Jesus when he raised the
Sinai
dead widow's son at Nain.
And so when the
John
earth
had been
shook,
with Jesus when he raised Lazarus
really
from the
Calvary's
dead.
Answer to Sinai.
John had
no
been with
law.
Jesus, you know,
no
in all
more.
Those times
it's
when
done.
He raised people
paid
from the
for.
Dead and when he healed and when he
and
spoke
so
and the winds and the waves calmed down
response.
And when he fed the 5,000, John was with him
Sinai.
Through all
well,
that.
Secondly,
so how hard of a stretch would it be for John to go, yes,
it was
he's
a manifestation
gone.
Of God's anger.
Like, hallelujah, I knew
Samuel,
they couldn't keep him.
Chapter 22, I said,
right, because of all that they had seen him do before. This was not that a big a deal.
I kind of had to pick and choose.
And
but,
so it was a foundation of John's belief, but it, not just
David
that.
David is now king of Israel.
Not just that,
is,
but I think the grave cloths, they are
king
a foretaste
for a while. His son
of the resurrection.
Has led a
they
coup.
Are a foretaste
David
of the resurrection.
From there,
notice, first
David
of all, as we look at this,
back to his kingdom, and
you know,
I think
this was obviously
this
Jesus was
found,
raised from the dead.
I know it's also
so what kind of resurrection
Psalm 18.
Was it?
This was
and
a song
it was a bodily resurrection.
Often,
his body wasn't
think,
there.
As God
his old body. And I just want to look
enemies,
at some of this. First of
what,
all, I want to see its connection to Calvary. When Jesus was on earth, he made some promises, right? He said some things like that he had come to give life, his life, a ransom for many. Did he do that?
And so maybe this
yeah,
was sung
he fulfilled
at
that
the
promise.
End after he was established king.
And so the grave cloths proved
all those
that
times
he did.
When God delivered
he
him.
Said that
he
had. He
said, "The Lord is
he
my
would,
rock and my fortress.
He would be
my
made
deliverer.
A curse
my
for
God
us.
Is my rock, in whom
well,
I take
true?
Refuge, my shield.
Bible says, curses
in
anyone
the Lord
who hangs
of my
on a tree. So he
my
became a curse for
refuge,
us. He became sin for us, and
you
the sin offering for us,
from
so that we may become the righteousness
Lord,
of Christ.
And
so the grave cloths proved that what he said
enemy.
He was going to do, he did.
And for the waves of death encompass
he
me,
said he would be handed over to the hands of sinful
me,
men
the cords
and
shield,
be crucified and buried and rise again on the third day.
In my distress, I called upon the Lord.
What he said.
To my God, I called.
He fulfilled
from his
what
temple,
he said he was going to do.
He heard my
he
voice.
Rose from the dead.
And my cry came to
you see, it's
then
a foretaste
the earth,
of our resurrection.
What, reeled and rocked.
So how does
the
that
foundations of the heavens trembled
Galatians
and quaked.
Galatians 2:20 says, I am
because he
crucified
was
with
angry.
Christ. Nevertheless.
So here David is saying, listen,
yet not I, but Christ who lives in me.
God
and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son
God
of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We're connected to Calvary in this
that's
miracle here through the resurrection of Jesus Christ
okay
because
God
all
God
that Jesus did, he did as our substitute.
Yes.
And we know that when
he's
he died in our place.
Right?
And now
so
we know when he rose again, he rose in our place.
It's his response to sin.
As a foretaste
so
of what
God
is to come.
The earth after the death of Jesus,
oh,
it was almost like his way
good.
Of saying, I hate sin.
It gets good.
This is what
the
sin
the second
has
thing
done.
I think is a resurrection body.
My son, the Calvary.
Is furnished. I forgot
it's put
the is.
This separation
from
he had to become sin
his burial body.
For you.
In other words,
sin,
we look at this
sin.
And we go, how is this a foretaste?
And he shook
well,
the earth.
In other words,
and we need to be
his
with that theology.
Actual physical
because
body
every time there was an earthquake,
vanished, was gone.
Saying,
it was
see,
changed.
Get you.
It wasn't that God
right,
said,
not,
okay, that body is gone.
Well,
let's
well,
just let that rot and decay. Let's make a whole new body.
All kinds of
he took the old body and he made a new
in
body out of it.
Correct?
And so
he made a body that was able here, to just kind of that
rise up through the grave
God
clothes.
Responded in anger.
It was so furnished from our or from his own body.
But it was
and so the same is true of us.
Anger.
Our resurrected body is furnished from our burial body.
And then the third one is
we're alive. Our bodies will be translated. You know, this theme runs
Israel.
All through the Old Testament. The oldest book in the Old Testament, most likely, is Job. Look what Job says.
Point. But Isaiah
he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives,
there,
and that
Isaiah 29,
and at the last he will stand upon the earth." Okay.
Isaiah is prophesying.
And after my skin has been thus destroyed, in other words,
Judah,
after I die, my skin is decayed.
Jerusalem is going
what he says,
fall,
he says, "Yet in my flesh,
I
will see the Lord."
People against Israel or against Jerusalem.
Even Job understood
verse 5,
the concept
says,
that we're going to die, our body's going to rot, and God is going to raise us up a new body
of your foreign
that won't rot.
Shall be like
well,
small
Daniel
dust.
Also believed this too.
And the multitude of,
in
of
Daniel
the
chapter 12 and verse 2,
like
he says,
chaff.
"And many of those who sleep
in
the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life,
with thunder,
and some to shame,
and with an earthquake,
and everlasting
and great noise."
So Daniel even understood that everyone, every person who has a physical
fire.
Body will
There's
rise
a
again.
Time
some
when
will rise to eternal life
is writing, saying,
with the Lord, and others to eternal shame.
Your enemy is going to be coming, sieging
you, separated
and it looks
from
like it's
hell.
Hopeless. And at
Daniel
that moment,
understood that.
The
this
Lord
was
going to
hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus came.
With this fire
notice what
and
Jesus
with the
said.
Earthquake.
In John
and
chapter
so
5,
God's response
he says,
strength,
verse 28 and 29,
right?
he says,
it's
"Do not marvel at this,
people,
for an hour is coming
them.
When all who are
like
in the tombs
the
will hear his
them,
voice
he is
and come out. Those who have done good to the we'll resurrection of life,
that.
And those who
good.
Have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Exactly what Daniel says.
In your head.
There's going to be a separating of the sheep and
the
goats.
It sets God apart.
But they're all going to come out.
Now,
they're going to, their old bodies are going
to
be resurrected.
It's okay to laugh during when you're
and changed.
And Jeremiah 10 is one of them.
Probably the most definitive passage
okay
on all this
just
is in 1 Corinthians.
Because
while we could read 1 Corinthians 15, the whole chapter,
notice what he says
we
about
kind of pick
idols
and choose
in
some of the verses for the sake of time.
He repeats
so in verse 35
way,
and
something
then
similar
you can
to this
see there's
in Isaiah, I think it's 43
all the different verse
talks about their idol.
Sections are
he says, "Hear the word of the
okay.
Hear the word that the
so
Lord
follow
speaks
along
to
verse
you,
35 and following
O
says,
house of Israel,
but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? That's a really good question. Like, how are the dead raised?
He says,
with what kind of body do they come?
At the signs
goes
of
on
the heavens,
talks a little bit more, and then he comes
the
out and says, "It is sown a natural body;
for
it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written: the first Adam,
a tree from the forest,
became a living
down,
being,
and
the last
with an
Adam
axe
became
by the hands
a life-giving spirit.
They decorate it with silver and gold,
moving on.
Fasten it with."
He says, "I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God."
So that it
in other words,
move,
in the state you are in right now,
their idols,
you cannot
are like
spend eternity in heaven.
In, the
in your
field,
present flesh,
they cannot speak.
You can't do it.
They have
you cannot.
Have
flesh and blood
carried,
cannot inherit the
for
kingdom
they
of
cannot
God.
Walk. Do not be afraid of them. For
nor
they
does the perishable
do evil,
inherit imperishable.
Is
Behold, I tell you a mystery.
In them,
we shall not all sleep. But we shall
so
be all
saying,
but we shall all be changed
the
in a moment,
the
in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet.
They bring it back,
right?
And they
goes
fashion
on,
this
for the trumpet
and they have to nail it down
will sound, and the dead will be raised
over.
Imperishable,
and
we shall be changed.
It, they have to pick it up and carry it because, well, it can't walk.
We should be changed.
He says, don't be afraid
these
of
old bodies,
there's no challenge there.
The ones that have rotted and they're just bones now,
it can't
change.
Do anything for you.
The ones that have drowned in the sea, change.
Now, in chapter 43,
the ones that
he
have burnt up in fires,
so
change.
In the forest, he cuts
right?
down a tree.
For this perishable
half
body must put on imperishable. This mortal body
himself,
must put
the
on immortality.
An idol and bows
our resurrected
says,
body
is,
furnished
and
from
saying,
our burial body.
Really make sense to
our
you?
Resurrected bodies
half
are from these.
Half of that tree he burned in the fire. To heat himself, the other half
another
he's
New Testament passage that talks about this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15 through 17.
Notice what he goes on to say.
For thus, for this we declare to you by the word of
he says,
from
there
the Lord
is none like you,
that we
Lord.
Who are alive,
you are great,
who are left until the
great,
coming of the Lord, will not precede those
who
fall
fear
asleep.
You,
now, why
King
would Paul say that?
The
because the church at Thessalonica, if you remember from our study in Acts, Paul went to Thessalonica and he planted a church there, but he couldn't stay long because the Jews brought in crowds and and drove him out.
Both
but he didn't stay, so he had to write back to this new
of idols
baby fledgling church who were struggling with issues. And one of the issues is what happens to our people who have given their life to Christ and Jesus hasn't come back yet. They die, and Jesus hasn't come back. Did they miss it? There was a rumor going around and some false teaching saying, well, they missed it. They aren't part of the resurrection. So Paul has to write and kind of clear that up. And that's why he says that
He is the living God.
Those who have not perceived those who have fallen asleep.
And at his
wrath, and he goes on to say, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first.
You're the living God. You're the one who answers prayer. You're the one who goes before, and the earth shakes and trembles.
He goes on and says, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. And so Paul says, here's the order, folks. When the Lord comes and the trumpet blasts, those who are in Christ, who have died before us, will be caught up first. Their graves are going to open. Their bodies are going to come out somehow. I don't know how all this is going to happen, but this is a God who spoke all this into existence. I think he can make this happen too. And they'll all be caught up, and as they're going up, they're getting all this new body, this eternal body, and then we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And thus we will always be with the Lord after
the last one.
Never separated
is it's
again.
A foretaste of divine judgment.
And our flesh will be changed to immortality.
Made lots of progress.
And so it's this body that is furnishing the resurrected body.
You turn me to Hebrews 12.
And so that's a foretaste. We see the connection to Calvary. We see that it is this body that's kind of refurbished, changed into a new resurrected body. The third thing is
verses
the resurrection body.
Notice what he says in Hebrews 12,
is a body not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
See that you do not refuse him who is speaking.
Not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you say, oh, does that mean we're all ghosts?
No. They did not escape.
Remember what he says here in 1 Corinthians 15:44. I just read a little bit, but I wanted to remind us. He said he has sown a natural body, he has raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being, the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
But also the heavens.
The mention of a spiritual body does not mean immaterial or ghost-like. It means that it would be a literal physical body, but without sin.
Therefore,
without the infection of sin, it'll be resurrected, it'll be glorified, it'll be like the Lord Jesus' resurrected body. Hence the grave clothes.
With reverence.
Hence to point to us that this is not an ordinary body, and this is not an ordinary resurrection. It is a
foretaste to that, or the fulfillment of that, is found in Revelation chapter
16. Of Jesus on the cross. Does anybody else mention it? Anybody else talk about it? Well, Paul does in a couple of
places. In Revelation, you have the seals.
He says this in Romans 8:23. He says, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our body.
And that's how awesome, how awful it's going to be here on the earth. And this is the last of the plagues,
some
last of the bowls being poured out.
More than the young
in Revelation
people.
Chapter 16, right? I think is a fulfillment of Hebrews. He says, and the seventh angel poured out
Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, it says, but our citizenship is in heaven.
From the throne
and from
saying,
it we await a Savior,
sound familiar?
The Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body.
There had never been seen
by the power that enables
there
him
never been since
even
man
to subject
was
all
on the earth.
To himself.
So great was the earth.
So here we have it.
This
our
great
bodies
city
are going to be like his resurrected
into
body.
Three parts.
He left
the
grave clothes
the
there
fell,
because he was able to
God
just transfer
Babylon
out of them.
The great, to make
he didn't have to take
them
off. He was just
to make her drain
raised
the
out
cup
of, them.
Of the wine.
Just
of the
like he could go through walls. We don't understand that. That's how the disciples were in a room all closed up and Jesus comes in. How did he do that?
Hailstones, about 100 pounds each,
but he does.
Fell from heaven.
He did it with
people,
his resurrected body.
God for the plague.
So if there's
the
anybody here that's still saying, so what's the big deal about
the
grave clothes?
So here, this
clothes?
Is the very last of it.
The grave clothes are a foretaste
as much
of,
the of wrath
our
of God
resurrected
being
body.
Out. This is the last one.
And it
one.
Takes away.
It says he shakes
this
the
is
earth
what it takes
so violently.
Away. It
every
takes
city
away the
is leveled. Every mountain is leveled.
It takes away the fear of death. Because if we truly believe that Jesus rose from the dead, if we truly have trusted Jesus as our Savior, there's no fear of death because we know our bodies will be resurrected.
Total.
We know that to be absent from the body, our spirit will go to be with the Lord, waiting this day when the Lord Jesus comes. And we're one of the ones that will be reunited with our bodies, and it's transformed and changed.
Again, as a rider on the white horse.
There's a lot of other passages we could read.
So we see the miracle of the earthquake.
If you want, check out 2 Corinthians 5:1-5.
There was an earthquake,
and then also Philippians 1:21-24. So 2 Corinthians 5:1-5, and Philippians
he did not displace the
1:21-24. That speak on the very same thing.
He shook the ground and said.
And so we see the grave clothes. What a great miracle.
Just died.
He could have taken them with him. But if the grave clothes were missing, then it would give a lot more foundation to the Pharisees' argument that someone came and stole his body.
For now.
But with the cloth there, what did they do with them?
To what you have just done.
I wonder who got rid of them.
The earth shook.
What happened to them? I don't know, and I'm not going to speculate.
There.
I will say this,
the
though.
Miracle there, or the fourth
I was reading this week that the napkin that was over his face.
We're
they say
more
it was taken
week.
And folded
really
off
more
in a different
a
spot.
For next week.
According to Jewish tradition, according
grave,
to culture
think, well,
and custom,
of course the grave
the,
is
the man on the table when he was
shook,
eating,
and
he had a napkin there when he was eating,
in front of him
if he had to get up for some reason and leave the meal, if he was not done, he would leave the napkin still wadded up.
The only graves that were open,
the servants would know not to come and disturb anything.
It wasn't any of the lost people.
He took the napkin and folded it nice and neat.
Just the saints.
He was coming back.
Some, not all.
See,
just the saints.
Even in this, Jesus is saying,
and so it was a
I'm
selective grave opening.
And I'm coming back for
and
you.
Next
someday.
Week, we're going to find out why.
Pretty cool.
You see, as we read this scripture,
for some of you,
it
might be a stretch.
To me, it's
today,
pretty cool. We're faced with a. With an awesome
so, anyway.
We're faced with
so we
God
see the grave clothes. The last one
sin.
Is the resurrection
we're
of the saints.
With a God
and
who, yes,
there's
merciful
not a lot
grace,
we can talk about on this.
Also
Matthew, Matthew's the only one that
not
covers
like
this.
Shaking our boots
and actually, this one here,
zap us.
I think,
we
creates
remember,
more questions than it answers, and that's
tame.
Okay.
In other words, God
we have
not
to we have to be happy as Christians. We have to be settled with the fact that the Bible doesn't answer every one of our questions.
It's tough stuff.
And we can't allow the world to say, ah, and see, you don't know that. And this whole God thing must not be real.
God.
But you know what? There's a lot of things
responded
lost
to
people don't
thing.
Know, too.
Darkness. And then also.
And I'm okay with some of the mysteries of Scripture.
The earthquake.
Let's but notice in Matthew chapter 27, verse 52 and 53.
Father, thank you for the truth
he says
of
this.
Your word. Thank you that we
it
know.
Says the
we
tombs also
back.
Were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. There's some debate about the sentence structure, about all that. But I just want to look, first of all, at the facts. Let's look at the facts. What Matthew does say. The first one is that there was a select group of saints that were raised. It doesn't say all of them. It just says many. And more than likely, it was those who were buried around that same locale, that same location. The earthquake came, it rolled the stone away to or opened up the graves of only those who were saved. Only those who were saints, or what we would call those who were like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those who were saved by faith in a sacrifice that was coming. So how were they selected? I don't know. So there's a lot of questions unanswered. You know, I just want you to think about how it would be received today if someone in power, say our president, tweeted that this thing here, that many graves were opened and the saints were resurrected. How would reporters today handle something like that? They would ask all kinds of questions. They would want to see evidence. They would want to see proof. They would want to see all this stuff. And the fact is, the Bible doesn't give us any of those answers. It doesn't tell us who they are. It doesn't tell us how they were, you know, were resurrected. It says they came back, they were resurrected. But that's one of the facts. It was a select group. The second one was after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the city. Okay, most likely that was Jerusalem because that would have been close by. They went into the city. Well, who did they see? Who did they talk to? What did they say to them? Did the people recognize them? Did they go to people they knew? Did they know anybody in the city? Were they saints that had just recently died, or were they saints that died 500 years ago? There's a lot of questions this opens up that it doesn't answer. And I think it's on purpose that way. And so as we look at the facts, we can also look at the questions. The question is, there's really two. Was this a resurrection or just a revival? In other words, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, we knew he just came back to life. He wasn't given a glorified body and he died again. The widow sent a name. He was just raised again and then he was going to die again. All the other resurrections before this died again. Were these saints resurrected like that? Or were they resurrected like Jesus? And so if they're resurrected like Jesus, then we have the question of the timing. Were they resurrected on the day that Jesus died? Or were they resurrected on the day after Jesus' resurrection? You say, well, why does that matter? Well, it matters because the scriptures tell us that Jesus was the firstborn among the dead. That he was the first to rise from the dead in this glorified body. And so if these are resurrected on Friday, on the day of the crucifixion, that can't be. Unless they were. And we'll explain later. So there's that question. Was it a resurrection or a revival? Revival. And then the second question is, were they resurrected at the death of Christ? I guess I already mentioned that. The death of Christ, or were they resurrected at the resurrection of Jesus? And so answering these questions puts you in one of two camps. Did you know that? This morning, you're going to fall into one of two camps. Okay, so the first one is, they were resurrected bodies. In other words, there are people who believe that these were ones that received resurrection bodies, just like the Lord Jesus, as a foretaste or as a small sampling of what is to come. For all of us to look for and go, they resurrected, we're going to resurrect. It wasn't just Jesus, he's also resurrecting people. And so they are a foretaste of what is to come. So how do you answer the question of the first fruits? If they were ones that resurrected, and if they resurrected at his death, how do you answer the question of the first fruits? They answer that by saying that even though they may have resurrected, they didn't enter into the city, and they weren't seen by anyone until after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in essence, Jesus was still the firstborn from among the dead, because no one actually saw them or witnessed them alive before this, before the resurrection of Jesus. And that is in the scriptures. They didn't go into the city until after Jesus rose from the dead. And so there's the resurrection bodies and there's the revived bodies. And so if you're in that camp, then you believe that they went into the city and they spoke with people, but they finished living out the rest of their life and they died. Personally, the camp I fall into is in the first one. I believe these were resurrected saints. They got a foretaste of the new body and that they are there in their new bodies, present with the Lord. And the reason is, it was a picture of what is to come. I do not believe they were bodies that came out and then went and hung out with their friends and came back or then died again. We never hear about them in the church, in the book of Acts at all. We never hear about them. They never spoke to anybody, or we never hear of anybody testifying of what they said to them and all that other stuff. And so there's a lot of questions, but I fall in the camp of the resurrected bodies as a foretaste of what is to come. God is showing us a picture that it wasn't just his son that it raised, but actual people are going to rise too, in case we were unable to catch that the first time. So the questions and the mysteries do not eliminate the facts. A pastor said this and wrote this. He said, the questions and the mysteries do not eliminate the facts. When Jesus died, the world was forever changed. And that is true. All the miracles point to the fact that Jesus' death was no ordinary death. He was the creator giving his life for the creature. He was purchasing our salvation. And while there are still some unanswered questions, it doesn't diminish the extraordinary event of the crucifixion. Isn't that cool? Because the Lord Jesus did what he said he was going to do. And the miracles of Calvary, the darkness, the veil being torn, the earthquakes, the graves open, the grave cloths undisturbed, and the resurrected, glorified bodies coming out, all point to this is no ordinary death. Because this was no ordinary man. This was the Son of God giving his life a ransom for us. And he's also giving us a glorious picture of resurrected bodies.
He went through it all and stood on the cross and did it.
He did. He did it all. He did it all for us. Not for himself, but for us. Well, let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, thank you for the promises that we see in these grave cloths, that we see in the resurrected bodies, that we are going to get a body someday, that we'll be able to spend all eternity with you, a body free of the presence of sin. Lord, right now we understand as we were justified, we were saved from the penalty of sin in our life. That was a one-time deal. We were justified, just as if we had never sinned. And all our sin, past, present, and future, was put there at the cross and forgiven. And Lord, we live in this time now. Those of us who are saved live in this time where we're being saved from the power of sin in our life. We're being set apart and sanctified from the grip that sin has on us. And Lord, one day we look forward to the day when we will be free from the presence of sin. Thank you for these great promises and for the Lord Jesus and for all that he did for us. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.